Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I mean, familiarity breeds contempt, right?
I guess so.
I guess so.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 14, Suspicion. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you, or rather remind you, as previously teased, it's going to be a whole month of spooky episodes in the Patreon for spooky season all October long, starting with, again with this, episode 162, which is dropping October 6th. Let's watch Kelly Rutherford and Grant show in the season 3 Halloween episode of The CW's Dynasty. I'm making Sarah go back. Watch her most favorite actor try to do her thing. We'll see how that goes this Friday. You can get that plus all of the archives, and if you join at the $5 level, all the archives of Again With Them, our monthly recap digest of 90210 OMG, which the most recent episode just went up last week. All of that and more is at againwiththispodcast.com/club. It's going to be fun in October, so you should join us.
Yeah, you should.
Less fun is our C-plot, in which Ryan is associating with annoying women only. We, speaking of Kelly Rutherford, rejoin Ryan and Megan in a post-credits montage of loneliness, although at least his is mitigated by puppy time, not a euphemism, while some underpaid nobody sings that there are no mistakes in love. Apparently proving it's true, Ryan finds one of Megan's earrings. Classic leave behind or just an accident. Who knows? We never find out. Also, who cares? Then the puppy's rightful owner and his irresponsible daughter are at Megan's door with her flyer. Just then, Ryan comes down to walk the puppy, who comes straight to the girl when she calls him. For the record, and anyone who's writing a book, the puppy's name is Sam. And as they leave, Ryan says he has Megan's earring, and she tells him to leave it in the mailbox. Brr. But they go on. Wow. Clip 2.
Well, the dog's gone. The whole earring issue's settled. I guess nothing really ties us together anymore.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's hard to remember whatever did.
Well, then I guess that's the end, isn't it?
Which is good. I like clean separations.
There's nothing to separate.
End of show. Bye.
Right. Both of you, we can go on without you, either one, frankly, but alas.
Yep, quite easily. The puppy is a different story.
The puppy. Bye, puppy.
Bye, puppy.
Good boy. Or girl. I never noticed which one it was. That night at Kyle's, Lexi in her pleather dress return. Lady, the owner insulted you right to your face last week, and you're back. All right. She asks
why
the host.
Why is she?
Yeah, her too. Fucking hit the road. Anyway, she asks the host to seat her next to Ryan and then creepily takes the chair directly behind his so she can accidentally bump his arm and strike up a conversation. Clip 3.
You ever try the snails? All those plump little guys always make my mouth water.
I don't like to eat things that crawl. I like to give my food a running start.
Is that why you and Megan broke up? She was too fast for you?
I wasn't aware that we were really together.
Yeah, you know, that's what she said, too. Probably why she didn't seem so broken up over it. Look, since you're so unattached, maybe I could join you.
Maybe some other time. I gotta get back to the office. Got a big report to get out this week.
Boy, Amanda's got you on a short leash.
There's a time for work and a time for play.
Speaking of playing, you didn't mention anything about our little encounter last night at the pool. Did you enjoy the show?
Waited for an encore, but it never came.
All you had to do was walk downstairs.
I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, God.
What? These aren't, like, they're not double entendres. They're not even single entendres. They're, like, untendres. Like, I don't understand. This is like the historical documents, or like something is lost in translation. That this is supposed to be like, ooh, sexy talk, but it doesn't make any sense, even if you saw the episode, which we did.
Yeah, their banter is so bad because both of them are like such C-minus actors that like neither of them can bring the other like along. Which sometimes happens on the show or in soaps in general, but they're both like this far apart and no one can like reach the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Also, who says, have you tried the snails? Like, is that usually what they're, is this an American thing that I don't know? Or is this Canadian bilingual privilege that I've only ever heard them called escargot?
Actually, now that you mention it, I don't think I've ever heard them called snails either, except like this was definitely a thing in like 70s, like it's a procedural, like this was like a runner on Chips
for
where,
sure,
like
yeah.
they would be, you know, on a date at some like wagon wheel decor restaurant. It's like escargots. Okay, but that was like 20 years before this aired, is A, and B, you would just say escargot, and C, like, talk about oysters. That's sexy food. Snails is like buttery and garlic, which great, but
yeah,
like no one can. Everybody is drunk in the writer's room and doesn't care anymore. I like got it. Off ramp, find it. Thank you.
Sadly, we're not there yet. The next day, Ryan is walking through the courtyard when he hears Megan scream and runs in to save her from a plumbing emergency. Once they're both soaking wet, they both get sexily self-conscious, but he spoils the mood by basically accusing her of having set up this scenario to see how he would react, like, conceited much. So she snits that she doesn't care how he reacts about anything. So then it seems like she's trying to turn it into a sexy fight, but he just wants to have a regular fight, and he leaves, and that's where we leave this. What a waste of time. Later, Ryan is at the rock and roll club while the terrible band of the week, which we will get to, somehow inspires Lexi to do some sexy dancing that actually draws the frustrated and horny Ryan under her spell because he's just that hard up, I guess. Which is when Kyle walks in and stomps over to break it up. And in his office, clip 4.
You know, what are you doing dancing with Lexi? I'm rubbing my body against hers. With any luck, we'll make fire.
That woman is bad news. She hates Amanda. I don't even like her being in the club.
Fine, we'll take it somewhere else.
No, you don't get what I'm saying, okay? The woman is bad news. Why don't you just stay away from her?
I don't believe this. Now you're telling me who to go out with?
No, Ryan. No, I am looking out for everybody's best interests here, Ryan. Open your eyes.
Your best interest, Kyle. First Amanda warns me off Megan. Now you're throwing in your 2 cents about Lexi? I don't think so. I do what I want.
Yeah, you do what you want, no matter who gets hurt, right?
Huh? Back off, Kyle.
Who cares?
Cares? How many blood enemies can Kyle have? Because, like, is Lexi really even that much on his list? Like, Amanda doesn't care this much about the whole Bizline bullshit. It's over.
No.
Like, focus on hating Peter. I mean, that's not going to last either, but it's all very strange. And frankly, when Ryan says he's rubbing his body against Lexi, hopefully they'll make fire, I'm not 100% sure he doesn't think that's what will happen.
Yeah. I don't disagree. And Kyle, when Ryan's like, well, then we'll just take our business elsewhere. Like, problem fucking solved.
Yeah.
They can go to Eclipse and none of us has to think about this shit again. But no, you got to keep blathering on anyway.
Yeah. When Ryan comes back out to the floor, Lexi has gone. So the next day he has to call her in her very ugly zebra print top, which you can see in the visual aids, using the number she left in his booth. And after they boringly flirt for a while, he tells her to stop by his place sometime. And the next day, Lexi runs into Megan outside their office, which is definitely the same exterior that is used in this episode to be the cop shop that Jane bails Michael out from. You can see this in a side-by-side in the visual aids. For sure the same building. Mm-hmm. Lexi then baits Megan into obliviously giving her permission to pursue Ryan. Clip 5.
Oh, Megan, hey. Listen, I got a lot of work piled up on you today. I hope that's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not like I have a big social life to get in the way.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, you know, I'm proud of myself. I'm a competent executive surviving without a man.
Oh, Megan, hear me roar.
You know, you really are the greatest role model for me. Proof positive that I don't need a man to make it to the top.
They're only going to bring you down, girl.
You want to have dinner tonight?
I can't tonight. Sort of a merger thing happening.
Oh. Well, good luck.
Thanks. This one's going to take a lot of guts.
Ew.
What?
Is that supposed to be... Now I'm, like, trying to find entendres where maybe there are none, but is that supposed to be a reference, like, he's going to be up in these guts? Sorry to be disgusting.
I mean, snail guts? Like, I don't... Even, like, whenever Jamie Luner is speaking, I really have trouble focusing and not sleeping, because she's very bad.
Yeah. That night, Lexi finds Ryan working late. He's supposed to be attending Michael's bachelor party in the B-plot, which, have he and Michael met? I know he is a man on the show and it's the law, but seriously, have they? I don't think they have.
I don't know. It, certainly the show has no idea who knows each other at this point. Right. I have a comment on that later.
Indeed. So Lexi enters in a leopard print fur coat with a corset and stockings with garters, and he tries to resist her, but then she does her signature move, implying her unwilling partner is gay, and the reason she keeps doing that is because it works, and it works here again. She wants to fuck on Amanda's desk so that Ryan will think of Lexi every time he's in there, and he's like, well, I couldn't possibly, but I guess I'm gonna, and... Hilariously, he tries to hide a framed photo of Kyle and Amanda, but Lexi wants them to watch. Grow up!
Oh, my God.
From here, Ryan crosses into the B-plot, so we'll see him there. Speaking of which, here we are at the B-plot. Jane and Michael's engagement continues going great. We open the morning after the blackout as Alex walks in on Kyle and Amanda sleeping naked on tables under a tablecloth, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but, like, it was a pale pink
tablecloth? Yes.
Like, that you're bringing sheets to the rock and roll club now to sleep in the what?
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
Anyway, Alex is there because he urgently needs Jane and refuses to use the phone, apparently. And if Amanda can't find her, he's switching agencies. And this is all very normal and professional behavior. But Amanda briskly says she can find Jane, which might be hard because Jane is at the aforementioned cop shop bailing Michael out. Improbably, someone kept track of his shitty little TV and Michael gets to take it with him. It's so small.
I know. I think it has a VCR in it, though.
I think it might. He is comforted that Jane was worried about him, and they agree to take the day off work and spend it in bed together, but that's not going to happen, because here comes Amanda in a tacky white stretch limo to slingshot Jane to Chicago with Alex. And as Michael stands on the curb bellowing at them, Jane refuses to go, citing Alex's sexual assault of her the previous night. Not that she calls it that, but it was... Amanda is typically uninterested. Jane can kiss Alex or not, as long as she doesn't lose the account. Jane's attempt to beg off because of her imminent wedding doesn't work either. Amanda reminds her that Jane used to like designing clothes, and somehow this is what convinces Jane that it might be fun for a few days. What the actual fuck? Who is writing this shit? It is so, it's so inconsistent. Like, it's actually infuriating, like, from week to week.
Yeah. It's just this, like, poochy moving color forms around, like, completely estranged from how either these characters or actual humans would respond to anything. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Anyway, Amanda already packed her bag and wants Jane to leave immediately. She grudgingly lets Jane say an extremely quick goodbye to Michael, but still apparently directs the driver to start moving mid-kiss, forcing Jane to throw Michael her car keys from yards away so he and his TV can get home. I would love to see the outtakes on that toss. I'm sure they're two different shots, but still, I would love to know how close they got. And when we see her next, Jane is in Chicago getting out of a super stretched limo with Alex and realizing they are outside his loft. Actually, he says, he owns the whole building now. She is rightly suspicious of the situation, but he says this is where they're going to work. I don't know why he lives in LA and still has a studio in Chicago, but fine. It is also where they boned that one time, as we know, so she assumes he thought she would be overcome by the memory and fall back into his arms and thus is ready to leave immediately. Trust that instinct, Jane, but she doesn't, and he starts desperately talking her out of it. His spring line is a disaster, and his career depends on it, even though he has commercial high-rise owning money. Like, I think you'll be okay, dude. What?
Probably.
So Jane, looking amused as opposed to afraid, says she doesn't think Alex wants her design ideas just to return to how it used to be between them, but he plays the it's your job card again and promises to stay hands off. Oof. Back at the agency, Michael confronts Amanda in the can, clip six.
Michael, you can't come in here.
Why not? Isn't this one of those fancy corporate co-ed bathrooms?
Oh, give me a break. Those things only exist on TV.
Ooh, contemporary reference to Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
Cute. Just then, the receptionist brings Amanda a cordless phone, which now has to be thrown away since it is covered in poo particles. But it's Jane, so Michael snatches it away. She's breezy as she says she has to stay in Chicago for the week, even though their wedding's in a week. Michael will have to wrap up the arrangements himself. Michael warns Jane about history repeating itself, Alex fucking wise, and she reminds him that he said he trusts her. Before he can get her to promise she will stay at her parents' house, the call breaks up. Oh, cell phones. The next day, Michael crashes a surgery to ask his various colleagues to cover his shifts and operations, ending with Peter, whom he somehow doesn't recognize with his mask on. Come on now. You know those eyes. Sarah knows
sure
those
do.
Eyes. I did too. Peter uses his chief of staff status to threaten anyone else in the room who covers for Michael because he knows that Michael's just planning to go to Chicago and mess with Jane's career. Good job, Peter. And that night, Peter happens to be walking through the courtyard in time to hear Michael on the phone, trying to sleuth out a number for Alex's studio. And as Michael hangs up, Peter sits on the sill to lecture him about leaving Jane alone and immediately distracts Michael with a mention of the amazing bachelor party Peter's going to throw him. Clip seven.
You're going to do that for me? Because I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to need it. And you'll be best man, right?
Haven't I always been?
That sounds suspiciously like an insult.
Oh, come on, Michael, loosen up, will you? This is men bonding.
Haven't I always sure. been? Love it.
Yeah. I mean, someone in the writer's room is both making their own fun, but counting on us not paying attention. And I'm here for those little glimmers of hope.
Yes. You really do have to cling to them because the rest is so dull. So dull.
Yep.
Peter invites Michael to join him for dinner at Kyle's on him. But as they're leaving, Michael pretends to have forgotten his keys and darts back in to place another call. But when he does actually reach Jane, he panics and hangs up. She obviously knows it was him anyway and tells Alex how hard Michael's trying not to crowd her and what a little boy he can be. Ew. Alex changes the subject to having chatted with her dad earlier about travel plans for the wedding and then changes it yet again to the wine they should have while they decide on dinner and then presents her with a gigantic box, her finished gown, which truly could not be more off the rack. This is a naughty, this is a sub David's bridal job. It's so nothing.
Awful. It's like the Halloween costume pop-up shop level bad. It's very bad.
It really is. But her basic ass loves it. And as she holds it to her chest, he sets the veil on her head and they stand with their faces too close, staring at each other for too long.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And then we're at the bachelor party at Peter's place. The motley crew of Peter, Michael, Kyle, and Dr. Visconti are playing cards. What? Kyle hates Peter. Why is Kyle there?
Where is Bruno? Tony Burchett's bodyguard. Yeah. It's not a bachelorette party. It's not a bachelor party without that guy.
I mean, I would sooner buy Mario from the restaurant here than Kyle at this point.
Oh, yeah. What happened to that guy?
I don't know. It's been a while. Maybe he was like Lisa Rinna's
Did he get
brother.
Out? Good for him.
Anyway, then the entertainer arrives, an exotic dancer named Tiffany. And I already had in my notes before it happens. Well, we'll get to it. Speaking of which, Michael sort of passes dancer, never came up when he was with Amber for multiple episodes. I know why it didn't, but it's still annoying to me retroactively.
Mm-hmm.
So to Peter's drink offer, Tiffany requests a bucket of bourbon. The guys like her even more. And once she identifies the groom, she gets down to work. Dr. Visconti barks like he's at Arsenio. And Tiffany gets down to her underwear, including a furry, like, bikini bra top, but then starts crying. And all the gentlemen are very solicitous, except Dr. V at first, although even he quickly recovers. Clip 8.
I sense you're feeling depressed. Do you feel like talking about it?
Yeah, it's just my boyfriend. He split.
Oh. Well, you're a good-looking girl. You could get any guy you want.
Yeah.
You can't help who you love.
Yeah, yes. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, why do you think he left?
He wants me to stop dancing, and I can't. I mean, I need the money. I'm putting myself through school.
Oh.
Well, Michael can relate to that. The groom, he was a stripper in med school.
Really? Would he show me some moves?
Yeah, would you, please? This is what I was hoping for.
Seriously.
at the top of the scene. So glad. Michael protests, but Dr. V says it might be therapeutic. And the other guys are in the middle of egging him on, including Peter, who, like, grabs a fluffy throw and is, like, doing real moves, which you obviously I gift it. It's in the visual aids. You can see it. You should see it.
You should.
That's when Ryan enters and is confused. Get out of here. No one wanted you anyway. Let this happen.
Seriously.
Stop fighting it. When we revisit the party, Tiffany is still complaining about her bad ex while smoking a cigar because it's the 90s. And Kyle tries to connect. Clip 9.
See, the thing is that, you know, some guys, they like to have their women at home.
Yeah. Not in Chicago.
Chicago?
I think what Kyle is trying to say is that the relationship between a man and a woman is a fragile thing.
Yeah, and sex usually screws it up.
But Peter follows drunk Michael into his bedroom, finds him calling to buy a ticket to Chicago, smoothly fills a syringe, and injects him to keep Michael from going. Michael is immediately so out of it that he tries to leave in Peter's jacket. Peter just knocks him onto the bed unconscious, which is what Ryan walks in on, even more confused as to what kind of party this actually is. But apparently Michael's going to be out smiling serenely for the next 12 hours. And in Chicago, Jane and Alex have finished his spring line, so it's time to toast the best work they've ever done together. They go back and forth on what the ad campaign is going to look like until he spots a dress with crooked beadwork and she volunteers to put it on so he can pin it on her. And she chirps, asking him to zip her, which he does, and then offers to be the first to kiss the bride. And she allows it briefly, but then clip 10.
Alex, you promised.
Well,
It is the night before your wedding. Don't we have a tradition to uphold?
No, I can't do this to Michael.
Forget about Michael. I love you, Jane. Let me show you.
Ugh. Ew.
Ew.
He's just... like, the parts of him that are not like a nothing burger or like... rancid nothing burger, like like tapioca that has gone off. Like, I don't, ugh. Please let this end. Spoiler, it's not going to for a while.
He's gotta go. He was bad enough before we knew all of his, you know, more recent scandals, and that just makes it even worse. Like, it's enough. Yeah. Speaking of it's enough, RA plot, Eve is dropping red flags around everyone except Amanda. In her bed, Eve wakes Peter up with kisses. He says he has to go, but while she's trying to keep him in bed, he looks into her open closet and comments on how empty it is. She claims she just travels light and then says she got robbed at her last place. Like, what kind of thieves take clothes? But Amanda promised to take her shopping with her first paycheck from the rock and roll club. No need to wait. Eve can have Peter's credit card, he says. She refuses because this isn't what the relationship is about, but he insists and she says she doesn't deserve him, and that is true. I think we can all agree.
Yep.
And when we see her next, she's at the Rodeo Collection with Amanda, who advises Eve to dress with flair and points her to Peter's favorite colors. Yes, by all means, don't develop your own style. Just, you know, fit yourself to a man's preferences. It's the way. And that night when Peter gets home from work, he calls on Eve as she's laying out all her purchases on the bed and makes a dad joke that sends her into a tailspin. Clip 11.
Any clothes left in the store?
I bought too much, didn't I? You're angry. You know, I told Amanda these dresses were too expensive.
It's no problem. I'm kidding.
Do you like them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're fine. Beautiful.
What do you think of this?
Oh, that's very... that's... I think I would like that best off.
Oh, fine. Anyways.
Expensive? Like, I guess we're not doing second takes.
No, we're not.
No. All right.
Well, sex ensues. And then in the very next scene, the house band, I guess, at the rock and roll club is vamping when Eve shows up very late in the dress Amanda picked out and runs on stage. And Amanda joins Kyle and takes a break from beaming proudly at Eve to say she thinks Eve was giving Peter a special welcome home. Amanda, no one asked, but especially not Kyle, who doesn't care about that, because an A&R guy is there to scout Eve, and apparently he likes what he hears. And Amanda looks weirdly worried about it. And later, Kyle is psyched to go to Eve's dressing room and tell her about the label rep. Clip 12.
This is how it starts. I mean, you're on your way. This time next year, you could be famous. We're talking about magazine covers, concert posters.
Where's Amanda?
She went home. She was tired.
I can't do this. You had no right to tell him I could do this.
Okay, listen, I know that record people can be sleazy, but this guy, he seemed legit. Look at this. Give me a check. $5,000 good faith money. All you have to do is sign, fill out the paperwork, and put your social security number down.
How dare you? Maybe I don't want to be famous. I don't need all of that.
Okay.
Maybe I'm happy with my life the way it is. I love Peter. He's the center of my life. I'm the center of his. Can't you get that through your thick head?
Okay. I'll just tell him that you're not feeling well. If you have anything to say, you can tell him yourself.
I know record people can be sleazy. Like, oh yeah, club owners are definitely at the upper echelon of ethics and principles.
Uh-huh. Yeah, also... I'm the center of his life. He's the center of mine. I love that his response is like, obviously you have a fever. Bye.
Totally. So the next night at the Rock and Roll Club, we are assaulted by a performance by a group called the Red Elvises, who are doing a lot. It's definitely very like tail end of the swing era rockabilly fucking bullshit.
Yeah, ska-oid. Yeah. In my notes, it says the Fetch Elvises are not happening. And that's... I'm standing by that assessment.
That's very accurate. I made one gif of them doing whatever their thing is. And when you see it, you'll be like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm, got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously. One of them has like a lucite base that's like the size of a tabletop. It's just a lot.
It has its own leg that it's like he's still dancing around with it. It's I don't know where to start because I would never end. So let's move on. When Amanda enters, Kyle, who I guess has not seen her in 24 hours, demands to know why Eve isn't more excited about her possible record deal. And this is the first Amanda's heard about it. Clip 13.
She said it was connected to her being the center of Peter's life. That happened kind of quickly, don't you think? I mean, what's he doing? He's pulling some kind of Svengali number on her?
It's love at first sight, I'd say.
Ah. Okay, so now you got the inside track on her feelings. That also happened kind of quickly.
It's a girl thing.
Girl thing. Is it also a girl thing to bag your career because your man wants you at home? You don't do that. You work all the time.
So you want me to quit? Are you saying that I don't spend enough time at home?
I didn't say that.
Well, what are you saying? That it's okay for you to button Eve's life, but not me?
Okay. Forget about it. Sorry I asked.
Yeah, us too. Because Rob Estes' acting is getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, within scenes, you can see it deteriorating because nobody cares, including him.
Yeah.
And especially in this particular storyline where he's called on to do a lot of thinky indicating and mystery contemplating.
Mm.
And he's doing that blocking where he like, I don't know, he like makes a fist and puts it near his face. And then there's like a, you know, Jennifer Keaton girl guide blooming thing happening. It's like, what are you doing? Like, please someone tell him to stop doing that. Nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just exhausting.
Yes.
Google, invent it, use it, figure this out. Let's get this moving. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, everything is going like both too fast and too slow. So there's no point where he can break into her monologue or whatever, where she's like, it's a girl thing that they got so close so fast to be like, I've known you for a year and a half. You have no friends who are women.
Yeah.
Like at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
The next morning, it is Peter's turn to wake Eve up sexfully. He hopes that she will get used to waking up there every day. But is he sure he won't get sick of her? That's her asking, not me, but I have the same question. She also, by the way, as you can see in the visual aids, has so much lipstick on in the scene for it supposedly being first thing in the morning. Like, if she, I know people go to bed in their makeup. We're none of us perfect, but if she did go to bed in this much lipstick, it would be all over the pillowcase, not still on her face.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Peter invites Eve to lunch that day, and she accepts before remembering she's got plans for Amanda. And then we see she's not at lunch. She is entering the L.A. County Courthouse. Dun-dun-dun. Meanwhile, at a park, Peter and Dr. V have an al fresco therapy session with ice cream. Fun, as Peter bores Dr. V about Eve and how beautiful yet naive yet edgy she is. And Dr. V is just happy Peter's done obsessing about Amanda. Clip 14.
Oh, please. I used to think I would see her out places. Every minute of the day, I was wondering, where is she? Is she with Kyle? Is she alone? Is that Amanda and Kyle?
You mean you used to actually stop in traffic?
Peter, hi.
Hi.
This is Lou Visconti. This is Kyle and Amanda.
Hey. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
I thought you were having lunch with Eve today.
No. I mean, yes, we were, but she had to cancel because she had to run some errands.
Oh, errands. Well, have a nice day.
Bye.
See ya.
That was Amanda? God, I had no idea she was so beautiful.
She's a heck of a liar, too.
I mean, I know you've been obsessing about her for over a year.
She's never had lunch with Eve.
Not that her objective beauty, you know, affects my opinion about
your
obsession.
Story about running errands, that was bogus, too.
I mean, just understand so much better now what you've been going
Get
through.
Get it together, Doc.
But she's beautiful.
I know.
I feel like we could, I didn't go back to check, but I feel like Amanda and Visconti have been in the same space, though. Haven't they? Like, I feel like it's very I feel like this is the show just assuming that we can't go back and verify that they've like been on the same hallway at some point.
Also, maybe
where is this even going? I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't want it. Whatever it is, I don't want it.
Right. Right. If the conflict is supposed to be Dr. V gets a fatal attraction crush on Amanda and then he's clashing with Peter, like it's too late for it to be that because Peter's already all smitten with Eve.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And if it's supposed to be like, oh no, Amanda in peril, like him, mm-hmm. That's bad casting. So.
Yeah. Anyway, that night in his office, Kyle calls the number Eve had put down as the last place she worked in San Francisco, but the guy who picks up has never heard of her. By the way, he is, hey, it's that Nick DeMauro, who you and I and everyone else has seen on screen approximately 5 billion times, as you will know when you look at the visual aids. There he is. Mm-hmm. Kyle says she's a singer, but Valhalla only has a jukebox, and Kyle's got a lot to think about. And over at Eve's, Peter stops by to catch her in her lie about her lunch with Amanda and then confront her about it. But she was buying him a present, okay? It took a little longer than she thought at the jeweler's, and it's a watch engraved to Peter, my love. Ma'am, relax.
Yeah. It's also, it's a Timex.
Yes, that too.
Get a clue, please. Thank you.
So she babbles that she knows she shouldn't have used that word, but Peter stops her, saying he's ruined every relationship he's ever had with his deceptions, and he wants to change, and for her to help him by promising they won't have any lies between them. She promises. So is there anything she has to tell him? Because now's the time, whatever it is, but there's nothing to tell, and they've got nothing to worry about, but she does, judging by her face as they hug. And the next night, Eve stops by Peter's to deliver supplies for the bachelor party that we've already discussed, including two decks of nudie cards. And Peter has barely started kissing on her before asking her to move in with him after, again, like 2 weeks. But
yeah,
she accepts because she's a baby and then tries to escape before his bachelor party guests mistake her for the entertainment. They're making out when Amanda calls to say she'll be late for their movie plans, which is fine with Eve, who drops the phone immediately. And then we cut back upstairs to see Amanda's also getting ready to fuck Kyle. I guess all the fights they've had in this episode are over. And also, as we've said, he's going to the bachelor party for no good reason at all. And after the movie, I guess, Eve and Amanda have more girl talk. Clip 15.
Peter was so boyish tonight, getting ready for his party. Chips and dip, coasters for his glasses.
Well, for your information, Peter has a dark side too.
I know. Kind of caught me in a lie yesterday.
He didn't find out anything about
No, thank God.
Oh, well, we were lucky. The next time you use me as an alibi, maybe you should let me know about it first.
I did. I told you last week where I'd be going.
Oh, well, maybe you told me, but I don't...
Maybe? What are you calling me, a liar, Amanda? I have a lot more to lose than you do, you know. Peter could have found out everything, and then where would I be?
Eve, it's okay. You're safe now. I'm here for you.
Why? She sucks.
Right. Also, like, I told you last week, like, ma'am, I have a lot going on. Like, I'm running my own agency sometimes, taking calls in the bathroom. I can't keep all of your lies straight that I'm supposed to be alibying for you. Anyway, that's where we leave this episode. The actual end of the episode is, of course, Jane and Alex kissing, but, you know, we talked about that already. Let us close up by naming our episode MVP. I gotta say Jack Wagner for his stripper moves with the blanket at the bachelor party. That was my favorite part of the episode by far.
Good choice. The puppy for being a puppy and escaping these boneheads.
It's true. The puppy was in like an episode and an eighth. That's about right.
Yep.
Least valuable player. Oh, no, there's too many good options.
I know.
Lexi, she is so tiresome. Her whole routine is such a drag.
Yeah. I'm going to say, well, I would say Jane, but I don't care to victim blame. So let's go with Alex. And shout out to the person who said that he has Dawson hair on our Discord, because he totally has Dawson hair. It sucks.
He does. Like Dawson. He does.
Next time on Again With This, what do we even call romantic farce this half-hearted? Mad crap? Anyway, it's time for Jane and Michael's second wedding, and because the Melrose writers have completely forgotten how to write a compelling villain, Alex and Lexi both show up to wreak envic on the proceedings. We have not forgotten how to do visual aids. We've done them for every single episode of Again With This, and you can find them at againwiththispodcast.com. And why not join our Patreon? You'll get dozens of extra episodes behind the paywall. And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about Tori and Jenny's podcast, 90210 OMG. Do not listen to those dingbats yourselves. Throw money at that problem and let us do it. againwiththispodcast.com/club for more information. The podcast is on Blue Sky at Again With This. I am bogus reference Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Blue Sky as Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is MacGuffin Air Red Eye, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And we can tell producer David T. Cole ourselves. Talk to you next time.
Whoa, great Bunting!
Wow, forgot about that one. Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.